Today on Real Life Radio.
Will you finally give up your status, your position, in your religion, in your denomination, in your movement? Will you give it up if you have never come to Jesus personally and given those things away? Up to God, to His glory only, and humble yourself at the foot of the cross to say, Jesus, I come to you and you only.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called, Now Will You Come, Please? As we now approach the end of the book of Revelation, there really is a sense of anticipation, a sense of urgency, if you will. You see, the reality is Christ will return. Revelation tells us about his return not only as a warning, but as a promise that he is coming quickly. And when he returns, many will be condemned by how they lived. But those who are saved through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross will be rewarded. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that there's a simple yet powerful test to determine if we are indeed a real Christian, and that is, what effect for Christ have we had on people? To share the love of Christ is to share His salvation to the world. And now in his message called, Now Will You Come, Please?, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This morning's message is entitled, Now Will You Come? Now will you come? And I put please on there, will you? Will you now come to Christ? Will you understand what this means? Will you now open up your heart is my prayer. Will you now take a stand and decide that you will give up everything for Christ today? I'm not asking for your money, don't get me wrong. I'm not asking for you to commit to anything. I may never see you again. That's not important. Will you finally, now, after years perhaps, and maybe I'm only speaking to one person today, but will you now finally give up after years of attending church perhaps for you, after having your name on a great roll of church accomplishments, will you finally give up after having given once a month your amount for all these years, will you finally give up your status, your position, in your religion, in your denomination, in your movement? Will you give it up if you have never come to Jesus personally and given those things away? Up to God, to His glory only, and humble yourself at the foot of the cross to say, Jesus, I come to you and you only. I receive the revelation of Jesus Christ for which this book is all about, the book of Revelation. All of your religiosity out the door. All of your righteousness that you've accomplished out the window. Will you now please come to Christ once and for all? This is the plea. In Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus is speaking. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, announcement is made, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Note verse 16 again. Jesus speaks again and he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. There's a few things we'll look at this morning. Number one, we begin with this in verse 12. Now will you come under this title? Now will you come, please? The answer might say, why should I come, Jack? What is this that I should challenge all of the stuff that I've acquired as a religious person. Maybe this morning I'm not speaking to you that way. Maybe this morning you've stumbled into church today. You don't have any religious stuff and achievements. Let this message sink into every heart this morning. You may have been just dragged in here today off the streets of prostitution. I don't care. You're welcome here. You may be right now sitting in this chair because it's all that you've got. Someone brought you here and you're just coming down out of that drug trip. I'm glad you're here. Don't move. Maybe you're here right now because you hold some ethnic background and you're thinking, well, there's not enough blacks in here, or not enough whites in here, or not enough Asians in here, or not enough Latinos in here. You know what? Stay here. Don't move. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I don't think this church is rich enough for me. Or maybe you're thinking, I don't think this church is poor enough for me. I don't know. Just stay where you're at. Because Christ is pleading with you this morning. The danger, though, this morning is this, that you and I, like most Americans, we're born into this nation. We think we're automatically Christian, and that's a ridiculous thing to think. But, you know, I'm a Christian, I guess. You know, I was born in America. God bless America. You know, Star Spangled Banner, all that stuff. I guess I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian. You can't be born into Christianity. You have to be born again into Christianity. But you're here this morning. From all aspects, from all types and shades of life, we're here. And this announcement goes out, now will you come, please? And this is the reason why. Number one is because Jesus is the reality. Can you jot that down? Mark it if you would. Jesus is the reality. He's the one. It's Jesus Christ. Well, how can I be sure, Jack? Why Jesus? Well, frankly, my friend, as you shall see this morning, there's nobody like him. He's the only reason. He's the only answer. He's the only hope. Does that sound narrow? I guess so. It is, I guess, you know. But he's the one who said, behold, I come quickly. And what does that word mean? It means that, listen, two things. Number one, I could come suddenly. That's true. And when I come, it's going to happen fast. Both these statements are true, which leads us to understand this, by the way. No less than six times in the book of Revelation does Jesus Christ make a statement like this. In Revelation 2:5 and 2:16, Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, be warned. Two times it's a warning. I'm coming quickly, watch out. I'm coming quickly, be warned. But four times in the book of Revelation, it comes as a promise, something that's comforting, something that's soothing. Revelation 3:11, Jesus says, I'm coming, and that's a promise to the church. Revelation 22:7, Jesus says it as a comfort. Revelation 22:12, again as a comfort and a promise. And Revelation 22:20, as a comfort and as a promise. Will you come to Christ, my friend? I'm asking you this morning. Why? You know what? I have nothing else to give you. Did you realize, and have you realized, I've gotten some notes. I know some of you have definitely realized. Pastor, do you realize how long we've been in this book? I told you before, I was hoping and praying that the Lord would come for us during this book. I've been milking this baby out as long as I could. I think today's our 72nd week in the book of Revelation, 72 studies. You say, well, I've gone on the internet and I've looked and nobody else has been on it as long as you have. I told you I've been waiting for the Lord to come back. We've got today and next week. Please, Lord, come back. But it's so important. Why? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, from here, if he doesn't come back in the next week, we go to the book of Luke, and that's cool. That's great. That's wonderful. But I'm going to be praying all through Luke. That he comes during the book of Luke, you know? But the reality is, Christ is coming back. He came the first time. He said he's going to come back. He's going to come back. And for some of us, it's a great comfort. And the word is, on the street, out of the church's mouth, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen? We want him to come back. If you're saying this morning, I'm here, Pastor, and I got a Bible, but I don't know if I want him to come back. Ooh, really? What do you have going on in your life that you don't want him to come back? What's your name? What's his name? How many of those scratch and sniff or whatever those lotto card thing? What are you banking on? Oh, yeah, just one more. Hey. Our church is a little fewer in number this last week and a half. We've lost some people to cancer and to death and family before service. Eyes filled with tears. Hearts filled with joy. They miss Dad, but they're going to go see Dad someday. How does that sit with you? Bittersweet? Sure. Reality? Absolutely. I just am so grateful, as you are, that when death comes, it's a door for us. It's a gateway. You know, before we go any further, it's no way for us to remember this, but you got to imagine for a moment. When we were inside our mommies, do you realize how excellent it must have been in there? 98.6. Look, I just got back from vacation. We were in Hawaii. The water was almost 90 degrees. It was amazing. And I didn't want to get out of the water. It was awesome. Can you imagine being in water 98.6? Called Mama. Mama's Bay. You're in Mama's belly, and that's all you know. It's warm, and you hear this incredible rhythm. Rather than the waves, it's boom, 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 boom. And you like that beat. And you can hear distant voices. Music. Pretty great in there. Nobody to bug you. Perfect environment, wonderful, and all of a sudden the pushing, there's a noise, things are going on. What in the world's going on? And all of a sudden, you know what? There's this contraction. Someone's pushing from behind. You don't want out, but you got to get out. You don't know where you're going. What's coming up? Everything gets really narrow. You're like, man, I am not, whatever this is, I'm going head first, man. And out you come. Now, it's funny because once we're out, we begin to check everything out, especially when we're little. We think the whole universe was created for us. We can go, and everyone comes rushing. You want a blanket? You want a sucker? What do you want? What do you want? Look, right now we live in this world and we're just like that baby. I don't want to go anywhere because it's so great, you know? But there's a place that we're going to that's absolutely awesome. And Jesus says, I've been there, and it's very wonderful. And so I want you to just focus on the reality of the fact that all of what you and I experience in this life points us to God. I don't care how bad it is. It's pointing you to God. It may be good, it may be bad. It's pointing you to the Lord. Why? Because God wants nothing for you but the best in the outcome. All things work together for good to those who are called, to those who love the Lord, yes? Hey, they work together. So Jesus Christ is the reality. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. The second point this morning is found in the latter end of verse 12. It is this, my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works or his work. This is interesting. Don't want to spend much time on it, but I must make this very clear. This is not a verse that promotes a works-centered salvation. In fact, it's the opposite. This is a very, very two-edged statement. Number one, when I come back, Jesus says, people are going to be rewarded for their deeds, rewarded for their works. Now, if you are a non-Christian, you're hoping that if Jesus comes back and he is who he says he is, then he's going to judge all the great things that you've done and you're going to be rewarded and your good's going to be better than your bad. The scale will tip and you're going to fall into heaven and just go, all right, I made it. That's what you're hoping for. That's what you think. Look, Jack, I've got all these good works. The Bible says your good works without Jesus are zero. Does that mean good works are bad? No. Because if you're a Christian and you understand that Jesus died for you, do you understand that he's taken us to heaven? And the more that we focus on heaven, the more excited we get, that this earth is not our home. We're en route to going home, that what he has in store for us is altogether lovely, altogether fantastic, altogether what any mind or eye or ear can either hear or see or imagine, that what we're going to is wonderful and he did it all for us, that we live a life now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that produces good works to the glory of God. Did you hear what I said? To the glory of who? God, not us. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 14 to 21, I'll sum it up by saying, many will come to me on that day of judgment and say to me, hey, Jesus, they didn't call him Lord. Lord, Lord, did we not do many miracles in your name? And Jesus will turn to them and say, depart from me, you workers of sin, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Wow. You see, watch, my friend, works for the unsaved, works for the unbeliever, they will be judged according to their works and they're going to be condemned, no matter how good those works might be, because you don't get to heaven by being good at works. But the believer will go to heaven based upon the work of Christ on the cross, but here's the great difference. The believer, we have works in our lives, we have things that we've done to the glory of God, and we should do them all the more because they bring him the honor. Now watch this. This is always shocking to some people. Personally, you and I want to have as many works as possible to take into the presence of the Lord on that day that you and I stand before him. Oh, Pastor, that's, you know, not me. I be just a little humble servant. Don't want to do that. Don't have any attention drawn to me. That's not what I said. I said, you and I want to have as many works possible. We want to have truckloads of works to take into the presence of the Lord when we stand before him. Why? Because we're going to cast all of those things down at his feet. And to him alone will be the glory. The more goodies you got, the goodies you give back, and the glory belongs to him and him alone. That's why when you do something, you should never go, hey, look what I did for the church. Have you ever known anybody do that for the church before? You know what, friend? I enjoy every moment of that because that's all you get. You've had your reward because you didn't do it for the church. You didn't do it for the glory of God. You did it for you and you know it. I don't want anybody to know, but I don't want anybody to know. Everybody knows now. You get the glory. You see, when you and I die and stand before the Lord, we want to have truckloads of stuff that we've done for him in this lifetime because we want to just fall on our face before him as it were the 24 elders. Remember, they cast their crowns before the Lord and they shout, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He gets the glory. So the Bible speaks to the believer that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It has nothing to do with salvation or heaven or hell. It has to do with you and I standing before the Lord and giving him the glory for the things that we've done in our life. That's why you and I right now, honestly, listen to this. You and I ought to be working our tails off for the glory of God and nobody else. We should be excited about everything we get a chance to do for the Lord. That's why the Bible says, in all that you do, do it to the glory of God. Why? You want to know what? Today is what? The 10th of July, yes? It's going to be gone soon. Forever gone. You and I have been given opportunity for this day that will never be afforded to us again. And this day in eternity will be a day, so to speak, of reckoning. The Lord has given me opportunities today to bring him glory. Will Jack do that? Did he do that? When the calendar changes to the 11th, this day's gone. The believer must stop and ask him or herself, what did I do this day to the glory of God? Now, for example, this is Sunday. And for all of you, it's a day of rest. For me, it's my day of work. But aren't we both giving? You're giving your ears right now to the Lord. You're giving your heart to the Word of God. When the offering went by, you gave out of the joy of your heart. When you sang, you gave to him. Right now, I'm giving to him and preaching and teaching. It's amazing. The rewards that he comes, when he brings, yes, it's salvation. Yes, it's his ultimate sanctification of our lives completely. But keep this in mind and we'll press on. The book of Romans tells us that we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, not of works. Why? Because before God, he knows your heart, he knows mine, and he declares us righteous. That's between you and him and you. Only you know it. I can't know that. You can't know it for me. I can't know it for you. But the book of James, on the other side, says you're justified or you're declared righteous by your works. Well, really, is it contradicting? Not at all. Romans is our standing before God. The book of James is our standing before one another. How do you know if I'm a Christian? You have to watch my life. Does my life bring glory and honor to God? If your life brings glory and honor to the Lord, Jesus says, I'm bringing my reward with me. And you're going to get it. Right on the cheek, right on the lips, right on the forehead, right as a hug. I'm going to bless you. Jesus is saying, you have never sacrificed anything that I'm not going to bless you back big time. Think of our junior hires that just got back from Germany. Their lives will never be the same. How do I know for sure? Jesus said in Luke's gospel, no one leaves country, father, or mother for the sake of the gospel that shall not be rewarded doublefold in this life and in the life to come. You could hang your hat on that. He'll do it. Third point, and here's where we'll camp out for most of the morning. Third point, will you now please come is the request, is the plea. Why? Look it, because Jesus Christ is righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness. When he says this, and you're going to need to get out your little green paper now. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Three divine titles. These are God's titles and no one else's. Now look, before we dive into this wonderful, wonderful pursuit right now, you're going to be given, by the time this message is all over, you're going to be given about 40 scriptures. So get ready. I took the time to print them out for you so you didn't have to write them down. Plus, this green piece of paper, I want you to take and nail it or glue it or whatever, laminate it and keep it near to the front door of your house. Not outside, but on the inside. Why? Because when you hear a knock at the door, it will absolutely be what you need, just like William Centenar needed the day Walter Martin walked this into his face one day. Now watch this. When this nation of ours was being blessed, our government was concerned that we would get our eyes off of God and onto our material blessings. Did you know that? In fact, if you really want a shocker, prior to 1954, part of the United States operating budget for our government went to producing Bibles and distributing them worldwide. Go freak out over that, atheist. Our nation printed on the money in God we trust because in our prosperity, our government was concerned that we might get our eyes off of God. God's supposed to be the focus. My friend, listen, if this is the book of Revelation, answer me out loud if you know. If this is the book of Revelation, who is it revealing? Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, Now Will You Come Please? Now Will You Come Please is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as Christians, we are all too familiar with Satan's greatest tool that he uses against us, temptation. Whether subtle or the battle of your life, temptation comes in a lot of different forms, and it attacks us when we least suspect. But just as Satan tries to pull us away from Christ, even more, God has already given us the victory. This month's book of the month is called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life, and it's by our very own Jack Hibbs. In this practical look at temptation, we'll discover how Jesus himself handled temptation and how you can build an effective defense against Satan's subtle and not-so-subtle attacks. Now, you know, once you become a follower of Christ, this tremendous transformation in your life does not go unnoticed in the spiritual realm. So learn what it means to be a true believer in the face of personal spiritual battles by picking up your copy of Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. Do it today. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.